VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here from the VCY America Network. Ladies and gentlemen, increasingly we are being barraged with the term Christian nationalism. I mean, listen to some of these recent headlines. From American Progress, their headline, Christian nationalism is single biggest threat to America's religious freedom. From NPR, tracing the rise of Christian nationalism from Trump to the Alabama Supreme Court. From Politico, Trump allies prepare to infuse Christian nationalism in second administration. From TheNation.com, the terrifying Christian nationalist crusade to conquer America. And an opinion piece on The Hill. The headline was, America is facing a threat of biblical proportion, the rise of Christian nationalism. You know, just earlier this week, there was an email that went out to media outlets announcing a 401c4 group called Faith Forward that says they are dedicated to bringing people of faith together to restore the soul of the nation, is ramping up operations locally, and will be communicating with faith voters in an effort to fight back against Christian nationalists who have been trying to co-opt religious language in order to deceive voters. And yet, when you look at their site, they use the guise of religion, religious leaders, and religious language in a spot God made all of us to promote 4 more years of Joe Biden. Their goal is to fight back against Christian nationalists. So it begs the question, what is Christian nationalism, and is such a view a threat to our constitutional republic? Joining us today, we welcome back William J. Federer. Bill is a nationally known speaker, historian, author, and president of Amerisearch. He is a speaker on the American Minute daily broadcast, has authored numerous books, America's Guiding Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, Who is the King in America?, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. Bill, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you.
Bill, I'm finding that there is a label that legacy media is using today called Christian nationalism. And I know there's variants of how individuals are defining Christian nationalism. For instance, a comment made by one reporter claimed that all Americans who believe that their rights come from God, not the government, are extremist Christian nationalists. So for purposes of our interview, let's define this term of Christian nationalism.
Sure. Well, the first thing to point out is that nationalism is the opposite of globalism. And second is nationalism depends on the nation. And third, that Christian nationalism used to be called Christian patriotism, and it was encouraged by Democrat and Republican presidents alike. So the first point is nationalism is the opposite of globalism. For those that are not familiar, there are people called globalists, mm-hmm. and they want to do away with nations, and they want to set up a one-world government, which, of course, they will control. These are people like Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and he had his WEF produce a video. It's Agenda 2030 video, and it had a line in there that said, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. It's like, okay, own nothing, own nothing. That sounds a lot like Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. He said, quote, the theory of the communists may be summed up in a single sentence, abolition of private property. Okay, own nothing, abolition of private property, sort of means the same thing. In other words, the World Economic Forum wants world communism. Now, how do they plan on getting you to own nothing? Why would you want to give up? Crises. So it's called the Great Reset, and it's an orchestrated global crisis. Jack Posobiec of Human Events Daily did an OAN interview November 24th, 2022. He said the Great Reset is very much like communism. They'll tell you it's about diversity, equity, climate, But what they want is total government. Hmm. So people won't give up their property if everything's fine. But if there is a crisis, if there's a global crisis, people will trade their freedom for security.
Yeah.
And so the Great Reset is an orchestrated global crisis to produce dependency on international government. Imprimis magazine, many are familiar with Hillsdale College. Mike Rechtenwald wrote in December 2021, "What is the Great Reset?" He said, Klaus Schwab and Thierry Mallard write that if the past five centuries in Europe and America have taught us anything, it is that acute crises contribute to boosting the power of the state. So here's Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, saying, okay, crises will boost the power of the state. Of one of the people that a lot are familiar with is PayPal. And the PayPal founder is Peter Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, and he gave a lecture at Stanford's Classical Liberalism Institute, November 18th, 2022. And he said, the zeitgeist, or the mood, on the other side is, we are not going to make it for another century on this planet. Therefore, we need to embrace a one-world totalitarian state right now.
Well,
he goes on, whatever the dangers are in the future, we need never underestimate the danger of a one-world totalitarian state. Thiel continued, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, the political slogan of the Antichrist, is peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
I want to suggest that we would do well to be a little more scared of the Antichrist and a little less scared of Armageddon.
Well, wow. Very amazing. Bill Fitter is with us today. We're talking about this matter of Christian nationalism. And Bill, you're really pointing out that first point. And I guess we just lost Bill here. And so we're going to have to reconnect here with Bill, going through this paper that he has just written and released and addressing the matter of Christian nationalism. It is being viewed as being of extreme danger here to our society today. And Bill is addressing this very issue under his very first point, that nationalism is the opposite of globalism, and certainly a grave concern in this very matter. We've got Bill back. Okay, Bill, we've got you back connected with us here. And you just really pointed out this aspect that nationalism, the opposite of globalism, you know, and those that are pushing for globalism are very much against a nation having its own sovereignty, right?
Right. So I apologize. I'm not sure where the phone dropped there. But did I give the imprimis quote from Michael Rechtenwald?
Yeah, you did. And we heard you all the way through your 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 about the Antichrist.
Yeah, so here we have this situation where don't be afraid of the world ending. Be afraid of the people that promise to save you from the world ending. Mm. And so people that want globalism do not like people that want to preserve their nation. And so they want to malign them. So anybody that wants to preserve your own nation, whether it's Hungary or whether it's America or whatever it is, they want to say bad things about you because they want their one world government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
so, Bill, now, you mentioned a second point as well in that, and that is nationalism depends on the nation. Tell us what you mean by that.
Right. So is it good or bad to be nationalist? Well, it sort of depends on what nation you're wanting to preserve. If you're in a socialist nation where there are no individual rights, well, then nationalism is bad. Why would you want to preserve a totalitarian nation where there's no rights? But if it's a nation where it's founded based on wanting to guarantee to you your God-given rights, well, that's sort of a good thing. And then if it's government from the consent of the governed, well, that means that we get to be in charge of ourselves. Well, that's sort of a good thing. We like that type of nation. So most nations in the world have an honor-shame culture. What does that mean? That means it's group-based, that your value as a person depends on if the group honors you or if the group shames you. Ancient Egypt had social classes, and the Pharaoh's family was on top. And if you're part of the group that, Pharaoh honors, your worth goes up. And mm-hmm. if you're not, well, then you're a slave. India has a caste system, four major castes, with the Brahmin on top. They're near divinity, and the Dalits, untouchables, at the bottom. And there are innumerable sub-castes. And the people know what caste their family's born into. And they have a worth assigned based on this group that they belong to. And even if you're a really good at cleaning the sewers, you can't graduate from being an untouchable Dalit in this lifetime, at least in their Hindu belief system. Imperial China is group-based. There were the 100 family surnames. So if your last name happens to be one of these 100 names, you're a somebody. Europe, they are based on classes, where the royalty divided from the peasantry. Beethoven was giving piano lessons to the daughter of a Czech duke, and they fell in love. But she was not allowed to marry Beethoven because he was a piano teacher, and she's the daughter of a duke. I mean, how embarrassing is that? And so he wrote her a sonnet. But in Islam, it's group-based. They call it the ummah, the community. And men are worth more than women, and women are worth more than infidels. And if your daughter embarrasses you in front of your group, they'll kill their own daughter to regain their pride, their honor. Communism is group-based. If you're a member of the CCP, you're worth more, and if you're not, you're worth less. Atheistic utilitarian states, your worth is dependent on your usefulness, your utility to the state. Right? If you can contribute to society, you're worth more. If you're a drain on society, you're worth less, and they'll pull the plug on you. Now, we see a new rendition of this in America. It's called intersectionality, where a person's worth is based on how many minority groups they can belong to. And the more overlapping minority groups you belong to, your worth goes up. And the trans group is on top. They are superior to all others. If you're a trans female, if you're a trans female of a different race, if you're all these. And so the left actually wants to impose a nationalism. It's a transgender nationalism.
Wow.
They want to set up a system where your worth is based on these intersectionality groups and the trans is on top. Well, America, we were originally set up where your worth is not based on what group you belong to. It's based on the fact that you are made in the image of God.
And Bill, this is a good stopping point right here because we're up against a break and we're going to pick up with more about the United States of America here in particular. And we're learning, of course, that nationalism is bad when there is a totalitarian state, a totalitarian nation. But what about the United States of America? So we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. William J. Fitterer, our guest, as we're talking about Christian nationalism. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, anything new found in outer space recently?
Chris, there's always something new. Recently, the Hubble telescope located several giant gaseous planets orbiting around burned-out stars. Now, gaseous planets are not strange. Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn, they're all large and gaseous, so that's not a problem. What is a problem is that the Big Bang theory dates these at 12.7 billion years old. This, according to the theory, is much too soon after the Big Bang to have formed the heavy elements which are present. They just don't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do either, but I do know what they should do. They should give up the Big Bang theory because it's wrong. It doesn't fit the evidence. There's got to be a better way. And there is such a way. It's found back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and this whole matter of Christian nationalism has been making its way through the legacy media, and Bill Federer is dissecting it for us here today and saying, hey, it depends on the nation. And he just reviewed, I mean, if you are part of a totalitarian nation, yeah, it's a bad thing. He talked about the different classes with Egypt and India and Imperial China and Islam and even the Communist Party and how that is viewed in that regard. But what about the United States of America? And Bill, that's kind of where we left off just before going into the break here. So if you want to comment further about the United States and the constitutional republic that we have.
Right. So we are a country based on you having worth irregardless of what group you belong to. And this is revolutionary in world history. And the Declaration says that all men are created equal. Franklin Roosevelt, June 14th, 1942, said, "The belief in man created free in the image of God is the crucial difference between ourselves and the enemies we face today." So Roosevelt is pointing out that our nation is different than other nations. Preserving other nations, well, your worth is dependent on a group, but in our nation, it's a good nation because you have a worth irregardless of what group you belong to. We would want to preserve this type of nation. Truman said January 20th, 1949, "The American people believe that all men are created equal because they're created in the image of God." Well, that's a good thing. I want to preserve a nation where everybody's equal and that we're made in the image of God. In Islam, Allah has no image. In Hinduism, there's 300 million different gods, so pick which one you're in the image of. In atheism, there is no God. And so the very idea that you're made in the image of God is a Bible idea. Here's a quote from Eisenhower, November 9th, 1954. He said, "Democracy is nothing in the world but a spiritual conviction that each of us is enormously valuable because of a certain standing before our own God." Well, that's good. Here's Lincoln, his Gettysburg Address. "Our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." So here's Lincoln wanting to do what? Preserve a nation. So I guess he's a nationalist. And then he wants to preserve a nation under God. And, of course, he was referring to the Christian God. There's many of the quotes where he talks about that. And he refers to the Bible in his second inaugural address. He said both sides pray to the same God and read the same Bible. So it's a good thing to want to preserve a nation that everybody's equal and that it's government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In other words, we get to be in charge of ourselves.
Yeah.
And in nationalist countries, you don't. So nationalism is bad in socialist and Islamic countries because they do not guarantee individual rights. But in America, nationalism is wanting to support a nation where the very purpose is to guarantee to each individual their God-given rights. And what are these rights? Well, just a short list is freedom of conscience. You can believe whatever you want. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, freedom to self-defense, freedom for an impartial trial, not like some of the corrupt stuff going on in New York. No cruel and unusual punishment, like what they're doing to those January 6th people, right? Freedom to determine your own destiny. Eisenhower said this February 20th, 1955. "The founding fathers, recognizing God as the author of individual rights, declared that the purpose of government is to secure those rights." So here we live in a nation where we have rights from a creator, and we get to be in charge of our country, and the purpose of the government is to guarantee to each of us our God-given rights. I think it's worth preserving that type of nation.
Yeah, Bill Fitter is with us today here on Crosstalk, and we're discussing this topic of Christian nationalism. And I hope you're listening carefully, because the national media is the legacy media all abuzz on this issue. And Bill's bringing out three points today. Nationalism, it's the opposite of globalism. He talked about nationalism depending on the nation. And Bill, you mentioned a third point, and you said that Christian nationalism used to be called Christian patriotism. So discuss that with us, if you would.
Right. So Christian patriotism was as American as football and apple pie. You know, I have a copy of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and the word nationalism does not appear in it. It's not in the the founding fathers didn't even have that word in their vocabulary. But what word was in the 1828 Webster dictionary? Patriotism. So Webster wrote, "Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. Love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and in purity."
Wow.
So past presidents, both Democrat and Republican, encouraged Christian patriotism.
Friends, understand what Bill just said. Past presidents, both Democrat and Republican, encourage Christian patriotism. Bill, I need you to prove that out for us.
So George Washington, he uses the word Christian and patriot in the same order to his troops, Valley Forge, May 2nd, 1778. "To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to laud the more distinguished character of Christian." So here he is. He's wanting to give birth to our nation, right? He's wanting to defend our nation as a patriot. And he's telling them to laud the distinguished character of Christian. So we have a Christian and we have patriot in the same Washington quote. Another is July 9th, 1776. Washington said, "The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to so live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country." So we're defending the country, and they're Christian. So I guess they would be Christian nationalists.
Yep, yep.
Lincoln, and everyone knows him because he was a Republican who issued the Emancipation Proclamation because the Democrats out had slavery. And so Lincoln pushed through the 13th Amendment, which officially freed 4 million slaves. Lincoln said in his inaugural address, March 4th, 1861, "Intelligence, patriotism, Christianity, and a firm reliance on him are still competent to adjust in the best way all our present difficulty." Lincoln mentioned the word patriotism and Christianity right next to each other in his inaugural address. So it's okay to be a Christian and it's okay to be a patriot. So Christian patriotism was in the bloodstream of our country.
What about the post-Reconstruction era?
Right. So after the Civil War, the Union North left troops, federal troops in the South, to make sure that the Democrats would not do their intolerance toward blacks. But then you had the post-Reconstruction, and the federal troops were pulled out of the South so the Democrats could then take over their state legislatures and pass Jim Crow laws and black codes, and they formed vigilante mobs like the KKK. And so you had lynchings in the South. And matter of fact, Tuskegee Institute did a study, and they found that there were over 4,400 documented lynchings. There were more than that, but those were documented. 1,200 of those were white Republicans down in the South registering to free blacks to vote, and the Democrats were lynching the Republicans too. But anyway, Teddy Roosevelt, 1906, said, "As Bishop Charles Galloway of Mississippi has said, the mob lynches a Negro. Every Christian patriot in America needs to lift up his voice in loud and eternal protest against the mob spirit." So here you have the Teddy Roosevelt saying Christian patriot needs to stand up against these Democrat lynching mobs. And then you have Republican President William Howard Taft in 1908. He said, "No man can study the movement of modern civilization and not realize that the spread of Christianity is the basis of modern civilization in the growth of popular self-government. The spirit of Christianity is pure democracy. It is equality of man before God and the equality of man before the law." So here's William Taft saying, okay, most of world history is dictators, and they rule through mandates, and presidents, and they rule through mandates. And in America, we got self-government, that we, the people, it's popular, meaning the population, that we get to have self-government. We get to rule ourselves. And he says it's a Christian idea. So he had no problem in wanting to preserve our democratically elected constitutional republic and to have Christian faith. So he was a Republican. And then we have a Democrat President Woodrow Wilson. And he said in 1923, "We call ourselves a Christian civilization, a Christian conception of justice. Our civilization can be saved only by becoming permeated with the spirit of Christ."
Wow.
"And being made free and happy by the practices which spring out of that spirit." So Woodrow Wilson, defending our nation during World War I, and he's talking about Christian civilization. So Christian, defending our country. And then Democrat President Franklin Roosevelt. He got elected president 4 times. He served as president 12 years. Hmm. After that, they passed the 22nd Amendment, limiting a president to just 2 terms. But he served 12 years as president. He's a Democrat. He's Episcopalian Christian. He wrote the prologue of a Gideon's New Testament and Book of Psalms, and it was given out to millions of soldiers and sailors who were defending our country during World War II. So here's Franklin Roosevelt defending our nation and giving out Bibles. He writes this, October 6, 1935, "The printing of the first English Bible is an event of great significance. We trace the widespread dissemination of those moral and spiritual precepts that have so greatly affected the progress of Christian civilization." So just like Woodrow Wilson mentioned Christian civilization, a Democrat, here's Democrat Roosevelt talking about Christian beliefs and Christian civilization. September 1st, 1941, Roosevelt said, "Preservation of these rights is vitally important to the whole future of Christian civilization." FDR, November 1st, 1940. "Those forces," talking about Nazis and Imperial Japan, "those forces hate democracy and Christianity as two phases of the same civilization. They oppose democracy because it is Christian. They oppose Christianity because it preaches democracy."
Wow.
Imagine if a president said something like that today. "Oh, our government, everything in America is a Christian civilization. We need to defend it."
You know, it's so amazing because that begs the question, would today's mainstream media label Roosevelt a Christian nationalist? Bill Fitter is with us today. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, discuss the topic a little bit further. And friends, we'll look at some other presidents and statements that they have made, picking up with Harry Truman and discussing this idea today that the legacy media is calling a great danger upon us. But all of these past presidents in their book then would be labeled as Christian nationalist. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elite in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
We're discussing the hot-button issue of Christian nationalism today. And friends, as Bill is going through these quotes, even from recent presidents, Republican and Democratic alike, and I say recent in last century, we'll be moving our way forward here as well. We're seeing that many of these men who have served in the highest office in our land, under today's definition and rules, would be labeled a Christian nationalist, that the media is trying to really drag down through the mud. Bill Fetter has researched this and talking about this matter. And Bill, we've talked about a number of past presidents before, but let's get up to the time of President Harry Truman and his views on this issue.
Right. So Harry S. Truman founded the UN. He's the one that ended World War II. He said August 28, 1947, "This is a Christian nation. As a Christian nation, our earnest desire is to work with men of goodwill everywhere to banish war." So Christian nation, I guess he could, are they going to call him a Christian nationalist?
Yeah.
He's a Democrat. Truman lit the national Christmas tree December 24th, 1952. "Through Jesus Christ, the world will yet be a better and fairer place."
Wow.
And then you have Eisenhower, Supreme Allied Commander during World War II. Then he becomes the president, and in November 9th of 1954, Eisenhower said, "This relationship between a spiritual faith and our form of government is obvious. Man is endowed by his creator." When you come back to it, there's just one thing. Man is worthwhile because he was born in the image of God. Any group that awakens us to these simple things is a dedicated, patriotic group that can well take the Bible in one hand, the flag in the other, and march ahead. Okay, we got Christian, we got patriot. You can be a Christian and you can want to defend your country. And then Kennedy, a Democrat, he wrote to Brazil's president January 31st, 1961. He said, "To each of us is entrusted the heavy responsibility of guiding the affairs of a democratic nation founded on Christian ideals." So here, he wants to defend a democratic nation founded on Christian ideals. So would the left label Kennedy a Christian nationalist?
Yeah.
So Americans have historically been patriotic and a majority Christian. I go through in several of my books, how every colony was started by a different Christian denomination. Virginia was Anglican, Massachusetts was Puritan, Rhode Island was Baptist, New York was Dutch Reform. Patricia Bonomi, professor emeritus at New York University, wrote of the colonial era. She said the colonists were about 98% Protestant, and then they were 1% Catholic and 0.1% Jewish, but it was 100% Judeo-Christian. But here you have 98% Protestant. But fast forward, Truman, during the 1947, and the administration had instructions for the U.S. Corps of Cadets. So these are all the young men that are joining the military. And the rules are, quote, "Attendance at chapel is part of a cadet's training."
Wow.
"No cadet will be exempted. Each cadet will receive religious training in one of three particular faiths, Protestant, Catholic, or Jewish. Pick which one you want to pick," right? It's Protestant, no Islamic, no Satanist, no Wiccan, no, it's Protestant, Catholic, Jewish. This was 1947. And some numbers, J. Tobin Grant wrote in Measuring Aggregate Religiosity in the United States, 1952 to 2005, he wrote that in 1965, 93% of Americans identified as Christian. 93% in 1965. That's 69% Protestant, 24% Catholic, and then 3% of the population was Jewish. So, gee, just in 1965, obviously they're Christians. If you're going to have Christian nationalism and they're wanting to defend the nation, Jeffrey M. Jones wrote, according to an average of 2021 Gallup polling, about 3 in 4 Americans said they identify with a specific religious faith. By far the largest proportion, 69%, identify with a Christian religion, including 35% who are Protestant, 22% Catholic, 12% who identify with another Christian religion or just simply Christian. So we've gone down from 93% in 1965 to 69% identifying as Christian in 2021, but 69% is still a majority. And so you see this trend. So America was founded by pilgrims and Puritans who were Christian, and then tolerance went out to all the Protestant denominations of Christians. And then in the early 1800s, there was an Irish potato famine, and Irish Catholics moved into America, and they went from 1% to 20%, and they got tolerated. Then there's a persecution of Jews in Bavaria. They come across, they get tolerated. They go from 0.1% to 2% of the population. And then you have liberal pseudo-Christian denominations and eventually some cults, right? And then tolerance went out to them, and tolerance went out to the monotheists and polytheists. Finally, tolerance went out to the Islamists, the atheists, and the Satanists. And guess what? The last ones in want to kick the first ones out.
Yep, just like today.
Everybody's tolerated in America, except the Christians that founded the country.
Yep.
And Reagan said, the frustrating thing is that those who are attacking religion claim they are doing it in the name of tolerance. Question, isn't the real truth that they are intolerant of religion?
Yep.
Bob Unruh wrote in WND.com, April 1st, 2024, the state attacks Christians with so-called non-discrimination agenda that actually discriminates against people of faith. Mm-hmm. So what we see is they, in the name of tolerance, they're being intolerant. And so this is something called projection, where they want to blame us for what they're guilty of. They're the ones that are wanting to set up a nationalism. They're wanting to dictate beliefs. They're wanting to do their dominionism, their Satanist theocracy, right? They want to push their views, and they want to be intolerant of Christians. But why does the mainstream media insist on calling Christian patriots Christian nationalists?
Yeah.
It's like the Christian patriot, they disappeared. They're not there anymore. So now there's this new word, Christian nationalists. Why? Well, for the same reason they call pro-life supporters anti-abortion. Now, there's no pro-life group that has on their letterhead or on their sign and on their little, you know, ministry headquarters, the word anti-abortion. None. They're pro-life, right? Pro-life. But every single mainstream news article on the subject cannot resist the fact that they want to call pro-life people anti-abortion.
Right.
Why do you call a group something other than what they want to be called? Negative word association. It's a trick, right? They want to associate anti with this group where they want to use the word pro. And so they're calling them something other than what they call themselves because they want to sway the public opinion against them. It's a psychological trick. It's called psychological projection. So intolerant leftist activists accuse Christians of being intolerant when really they're the intolerant ones. Mm-hmm. They're intolerant of Christians. It's a narcissistic response called blame shifting, where the attacker blames the victim. Little kids instinctively do it. I didn't start the fight, you did. Or a cheating spouse instinctively will accuse the faithful spouse of being unfaithful. Mm-hmm. Right? Cheating spouse gets caught. Well, you're the one that's... In the Bible, Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of lusting after her when she was lusting after Joseph. Nero set fire to Rome but blamed the Christians.
Yep.
In April 19th, 2010, Democrat political advisor David Axelrod was giving an NPR radio interview, and he said, in Chicago, there was an old tradition of throwing a brick through your own campaign office window, then calling a press conference to say you've been attacked. So they do the terrible stuff, but they want to blame the innocent people. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi called it the wrap-up smear.
Yep.
It was interesting. Harry Reid accused Mitt Romney of not paying his taxes, and it caused negative press so much that it eventually cost him the election. Time magazine did a fact check, and found that Romney did pay his taxes. And so they interviewed Harry Reid and said, why did you say he didn't pay his taxes? And Harry Reid said, I lied about Romney, but he didn't win, did he?
Wow.
In other words, it doesn't matter the truth. Mm-hmm. All it is political, who wins. And if you can smear your opponent and call them something that's not what they are, then it's okay in their mind. So here you have left-wing activists using their critical race theory, their DEI, their diversity, equity, inclusion, ESG. They want to force an irreligious nationalism. Unprecedented Satanist theocracy. I mean, who's seen Satan clubs on elementary school campuses before? And Satan trans clothes designers for Target and Disney coming out with a Satan little demon cartoon on FX. And then you have, Satan statues in the Iowa State Capitol. I mean, it's like out of the box.
Yep.
Yet they want to censor Bible-believing Christians and pro-life Catholics. And they're using this fear-mongering technique. And so the Telegraph had an article, December 12, 2023, exposing the Hollywood producer, Rob Reiner, using this fear-mongering. Rob Reiner is deluded about Christian nationalism. The God and Country movie trailer presents ordinary religious Americans as nationalist boogeymen. Reiner's example of Christian nationalism are so broad that even the late Queen Elizabeth had a brush with it, and Billy Graham.
Hmm.
I mean, this guy is so far off, but calling Billy Graham a nationalist, all he did was preach. The inescapable conclusion is the average Christian beliefs and average Christian engagement in the public sphere is exactly what Reiner and his collaborators hope to target. They mm-hmm. want to shame the followers of Jesus from taking part in the very same political activities that their secular counterparts do.
Exactly.
So they want to shut up the Christians, but they want to activate their people. The Rockefeller Foundation gives money, and there was an article, Follow the Money, and it showed how they're giving money to a group that's producing an after-party curriculum and giving money to seminaries and people like Russell Moore and so forth. And they want to give the money so they'll teach Christians not to get involved. Yet at the same time, they're giving money to LGBTQ activist groups to activate them in rural America,
right?
Because they've not been in. And so they're what a great strategy. Give money to motivate your supporters and give money to unmotivate and shame your opponents. And then Gateway Pundit had an article February 23rd, 2024. Heidi Prisbala, a reporter for Politico, was on MSNBC and fretted as she explained that Christian nationalists believe that Americans' rights are granted by God and not Congress or the Supreme Court.
My.
And it goes on, the rights of Americans do come from God, not the government, which anybody knows if they've read the country's founding documents. How this person is even allowed to comment on politics on TV with this level of dishonesty and stupidity, this is a perfect example of why trust in the media is in the gutter.
Yep.
And then another article, GatewayPundit.com, Mike LaChance wrote February 29th, 2024. Last week, a reporter for the liberal outlet Politico suggested that if you're an American who believes that your rights come from God and not the government, you're a Christian nationalist. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins and Catholic Vote President Brian Birch fired off a letter to Politico demanding an apology, saying Politico's reporter failed to acknowledge that our own republic was founded on the belief that our rights come from God, not earthly kings or government, a revolutionary idea clearly articulated in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Perkins and Birch called Prisbala an attempt to spread misinformation about Christians.
Bill Federer with us here, friends, on Crosstalk. Our phone number here to get in on our discussion today, your questions, comments, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. When I went to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website at wisconsindot.gov, what did I find? Openly on the website, Wisconsin ID card for voting purposes. And what did I find? That so-called U.S. citizens can get a free ID for voting, even if you don't have any documentation available. And then I started searching other states. Apparently, this is becoming a real problem. And then we found a flyer that is now being cited by members of the U.S. House of Representatives that was being passed out in Mexico as illegals were coming over the border, encouraging them to vote for Joe Biden so the border can stay open. How is it that illegals are voting? If you're not a citizen here, how is this possible? Well, it's because many states now are openly encouraging illegal aliens to vote. Are you concerned about this fall election?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, Christian nationalism. Bill Fitterer is our guest. By the way, his website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. You'll find a number of his resources there and lots of writings, lots of books, lots of materials. And Bill, this whole matter of Christian nationalism, I mean, it's really being pitted as a negative, but it sounds like they're against really the founding of this nation, are they not?
Right. I actually just finished a new book. It's coming out within a week. It's called Silence Equals Consent, but I talk about this in there. Ed Martin wrote for Philadelphia Eagles. He says, Heidi Priscilla isn't railing against Christian nationalism. She's railing against America's founding.
Yeah, indeed.
So the socialist tactic is if you want to conquer a country, you take the biggest block that's your opponent and you try to find some differences and split the block into two and pit them against each other. And whether it's racially, economically, religiously, socially, well, guess what? The biggest voting bloc in America is Christian. And so they're like, how can we split Christians against each other because we want to demotivate Christians from getting involved in election? This is their trick. They've come up with calling Christian patriots, Christian nationalists. And then you have a bunch of confused people that are trying to define Christian nationalists. Oh, well, I am one because I want to defend our country. It's like, let's not even use the term. It's Christian patriotism. Mm-hmm. Stop calling pro-life people anti-abortion, call them pro-life, and stop calling Christian patriots a name that they don't call themselves. Now, Christians, what do they want? They don't want to force their beliefs on anybody. Our country was founded by Christians who didn't want the government forcing the government's beliefs on them. Mm-hmm. You had Baptists and Presbyterians and Quakers, right, and Puritans, and they're fleeing the King of England, who is burning people at the stake for not believing the way they do. So they're patriots don't want dominionism. They don't want to dominate. They want freedomism. So it's not dominion. It's freedom. We want freedom for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. We won't force our beliefs on you, but the patriots don't want a government legislating immorality.
Right.
Like,
right.
Well, we don't want you legislating morality. Yeah. Well, you stop legislating immorality. And so the three points are that nationalism is the opposite of globalism. Nationalism depends on the nation, and our nation has rights from a creator. The government's job is to guarantee to each of us our God-given rights, and it's government from the consent of the governed. We get to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then nationalism used to be called Christian patriotism, and every president, Democrat and Republican, encouraged it.
Wow.
I actually wrote a book called The Faith of FDR, where I go through all these quotes from a Democrat president, FDR, saying we want to preserve our Christian nation.
Yeah. Our lines are packed. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, my point is I believe the propaganda of the globalist has the upper hand, when I mean intimidation and manipulation in doing that. The perfect storm in my mind is between the dumbing down of America in general. You have biblical illiteracy among Christians. They dominate the fake news with a bunch of trained parents that keep pounding the same lie over and over again. And I don't think we have enough backbone that is capable of overcoming it. And again, I'd like to think differently, but I think we are that weak need right now, and we really have to have some strength coming up the ranks that can overcome that.
Oh, thank you for the comment. Bill, any response?
Yeah, we're taking on the globalists, that's for sure. They've got their tactics. They've got their media. The only place I find encouragement is the Bible.
Yeah.
And what are the stories we love best in the Bible? It's times when it looked really, really hopeless, and God raises up an 80-year-old Moses to stand against the most powerful military leader, the Pharaoh, or God raises up a little teenager David against his Goliath, or God raises up a scaredy cat Gideon against 100,000 Midianites, or Deborah, or Esther. It's like God loves to wait until things look hopeless, and then he raises up little nobodies with faith and courage.
Amen.
To stand up in the gap to turn things around.
Let's go to Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, Colonel Grand Mason of World War I said that battles are, beyond anything else, struggles of morale. And by attacking Christian nationalism, they're attacking America's morale and moral base that has produced the men of character who have and will protect the U.S. Constitution in times of civil and world war.
Hmm. Okay, thank you for the comment. Bill?
Yeah, the morale is the key thing. You know, the children of Israel coming into the promised land, 10 spies gave a negative report. Yeah. There's giants in the land. We're grasshoppers in their sight. And it spread so much that they wanted to stone Moses and go back to Egypt. And God was so mad at them, those 10 spies, he struck them dead on the spot. And he told the rest of the Israelites, you're going to wander 40 years. God was really mad for these people that wanted to zap the morale of his people. So God always loves to use a small group of people. I heard somebody say there's three groups of people. Those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what happened.
Yeah, indeed. Well, so, we've got Doug from Ringgold, Georgia. Doug, you're on the air.
Yeah, did Obama make the statement that America is no longer a Christian nation?
Yeah, he did. He said, whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation. It's like, okay, you just said we used to be a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed his very strongly the Islamic faith. And I wrote a book on the history of Islam. Egypt used to be Christian. Syria used to be Christian. Turkey used to be Christian. North Africa used to be Christian. So whenever Islam comes in, it comes in slow. It assimilates, and then it gradually takes over.
Yeah.
I was amazed just yesterday. Minnesota just put an Islamic star on its state flag.
My.
Reno, Nevada put an Islamic 8-point star on its flag. And so they're moving in.
Yeah, thank you for the comment here, Doug. Bill Federer, our guest here today. And again, friends, you can find more of his resources and material, AmericanMinute.com. And Bill, you said your book is coming out soon?
Right, yeah. It's called Silence Equals Consent, The Sin of Omission.
Hmm.
And so all these people say, well, you shouldn't get involved. It's like, okay, yeah, but you're being silent with the face of all the evil out there, killing babies, mutilating children, and your silence gets the same way your silence gets consent at wedding vows. You're giving consent. And if you give consent to sin, you're an accessory and you'll share in the judgment.
Well,
so that's a new book coming out. My website's AmericanMinute.com.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us here today. A very important issue. It's becoming more and more in the legacy media as really as an attack against believing our rights come from God. But thank you for helping to set the record straight.
Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Bill Federer with us here today on this topic of Christian nationalism. And friends, send a link to this program to others. Those who want to use it as a derogatory term, help them know the truth. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.